2 Kings chapter 6. The story will be familiar to many of you, but I just believe that God wants to encourage us today. Apparently, there are some of you here today that are in one difficulty or another. There are apparently some people in the congregation today in straits of one type or another. God wants you to know today that if you're in a strait, He knows you're in there. And He's not left you or forsaken you or permitted you to stay in the mess. God knows exactly where you are, and what He wants you to see today is He wants you to see with your spiritual eyes. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's ask God to bless for us this ministry from His Word. Father, You said that none of Your Word would ever return void, that it would always prosper, that it would always accomplish Your purpose. We confess before You today, our Father, that Your Word will prosper and does prosper as we declare it. We confess before You, our Father, this day, that Your Word today is going to set some people free. For Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior, said, "If ye continue in My Word, then shall ye be My disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we know that Your Word is the truth, that as we continue in it, we'll be made free. We thank You for that blessed promise today, Father. Now we ask, Lord, that You would minister Your Word by the power of Your Spirit. I pray, Father, that I would be permitted to speak under the unction of Your Spirit, and that that Word which is down on the inside of me, that You would cause to flow out of me without any hindrance, without any confusion, and without any binding of any type, that the Word would flow freely in power and in clarity the way You would declare it if You were here standing in the flesh today. I thank You, Father, for what You're going to accomplish by Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. This story in the sixth chapter of 2 Kings is a story from the life of the prophet Elisha. Elisha was the inheritor of the double portion of the Holy Spirit of God that had been on Elijah. Do you remember from the Old Testament that Elisha did many, many wonderful and mighty miracles in the name of God? He was the prophet in Israel at that time. He was the man that had God's word for that day. Now, Israel in that day was not a nation at peace. Israel was a nation in constant turmoil. They were a nation that was constantly at war. They were constantly under attack by their neighbors. This particular story has to do with a circumstance that took place during an attack by the king of Syria. Let's read it beginning in the 8th verse. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.' The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him there, not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.'" The king of Syria had established himself against Israel. He would make counsel, get his counselors together, and they would determine that they would encamp in such and such a place, and that would be a good place for them to set ambushment against Israel and the armies of Israel. But every place they would set their camp, every place they would set up their armaments, Elisha, the man of God, would receive revelation from God as to where the king of Syria's army was, and he would go to the king of Israel and he would say, well, now go not down that way, because that's where Syria, that's where the Syrian king has established his camp, and he'll get you there. And so the king of Israel, he'd listen to Elisha, the man of God, and they wouldn't go that way. And the scripture says that this happened not once or twice. In other words, it happened every time. Every time the Syrian army would establish themselves and set up their bunkers, the Israeli army wouldn't come. They wouldn't be anywhere near it. So the Syrian king is quite distraught, as you can understand that he would be. And he said to the people of his own camp, he said, who's for the king of Israel? In other words, who's the traitor in our midst? There's somebody in the midst of us that every time we make a plan, he goes and tells the king of Israel. One of his counselors says, it isn't anybody here, my king. It's Elisha, the man of God, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel what you're saying in your bedchamber. He knows what you say in the privacy of your own sleeping quarters by the revelation that comes from his God. Verse 13 then. And he, that is the Syrian king, said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? When the king of Syria found out what had happened, he said, we've got to get this man Elisha. There's no way we're ever going to defeat the Israeli army until we get Elisha, because he's got this supernatural revelation. He's got a pipeline into my sleeping quarters. He knows everything we're going to do, so we've got to get a hold of him. Where is he? Well, he's in Dothan. Well, let's send all the horses and all the chariots down to the city of Dothan, surround that city. We're going to get that man. He's not going to stop what we're doing. We're going to have him. And it says they came by the still of the night. And when Elisha did not know what was going on, Elisha was just purely going about his business serving God. God would give him revelation knowledge about where the Syrian army was, and he would go down and tell his king. He'd say, the Syrian army is over there. Don't go that way. He was just doing what God had called him to do. He was the prophet of God. He was the man that had the revelation of God for that day, and he was giving it to the people. He was going about his God-ordained task. He was fulfilling the mission that God had given him. He had nothing against the king of Syria. He was doing the work that God had given him to do. When God gave him the information, he went on and shared it with the king. Unbeknown to him, unbeknown to Elisha, the enemy encamped around him in the middle of the night. They sent all of their horses and all of their chariots. They brought all of their armies and all of their weapons, and they surrounded the poor man's city, and he didn't even know he was in trouble. That ever happened to you? That ever happened to you? You're just going about doing your business. You're just going about living for God. You're just about your own business. And all of a sudden you wake up one morning and the enemy has their greatest weapons encamped right around you. You look around and say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How did I get into this mess? Where did all these people come from? That's kind of what happened to the servant of Elisha. When he went out that next morning in the 15th verse, it says he got up early and he went forth. And behold, a host encamped and compassed around the city, horses and chariots. And he said, alas, alas. You know what alas means? You know what alas means? It means, help, I'm undone. What am I going to do? I don't have any hope. I don't have any help. Alas, what are we going to do? We're finished. That's what alas means. And Elisha, the man who walked with God, he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. they that be with us are more than they that be with them. He says, servant, don't be afraid. We've got more on our side than they've got on their side. Elisha's poor servant must have thought he was nuts. Here are the two of them in Dothan. Here's this whole enemy army camped around the exterior of the town. And Elisha says, don't worry about it. We've got more on our side than they've got on theirs. I don't see anybody. What are you talking about? We're here alone, just you and I. All this host against us. Everything's arrayed against us. Everything's going wrong. There's no hope for us. We are in deep trouble, Elisha. Don't you know it? You better just go on face it. We're in trouble. Verse 17, and Elisha, what? Prayed. Hallelujah. Elisha knew where his help was. Elisha prayed. Elisha prayed to God because he knew that his help was in the name of the Lord, and that it didn't matter what it looked like out on the hillside. It didn't matter how big that army was that was arrayed against him. It did not matter how deep the hole was that he had fallen into. It didn't matter how difficult or impossible the circumstance was. It didn't matter about any of those things. What mattered was he knew who the answer was, and the answer was one that he could touch with prayer. And he prayed, and he went before God, and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes, Lord, that he can see like I can see. Open his eyes. Open his spiritual eyes. Open them up so that he can see what I see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that we are the minority. We are not the minority. Do you realize that when a third of the angels fell from heaven and followed Satan, that there were two-thirds left? That's twice as many. Two-thirds is more than one-third. Two-thirds is, as a matter of fact, twice as many as one-third. There are twice as many on our side as there are on his, bless God. Twice as many. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstances, God has not left you. God has not left me. God's not left us. No matter what it looks like, God has surrounded you with his angels, with his chariots, and with horses of fire to protect and preserve you if you'll put your trust in God. Now, I can tell you that from experience as well as from the Word of God. And many of you, how many of you can just say amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. God's not left you alone. And it doesn't matter whether you see the angelic host that are camped around this. Now, some of you are going to think I'm crazy. But there have actually been people in this auditorium who have seen angels in this place. Now, some of you say, oh, an angel wouldn't be caught dead in a place like this. Angels, that's right, angels. Angels, God's messengers, God's hosts. You know, in the Bible, for a long time I never saw this. It talks over and over again in the Old Testament about the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. You know what a host is? It's an army. It's an army. It's an army. A host is an army. And our God is the God of armies. He's the Lord of hosts. And I don't know what you think angels look like, but if you think they have wings and they twitter and twutter and flitter through the air, you have another thing coming, because that's not the way angels are. You know, it was one angel that rolled back the stone on the grave of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Many men could not have rolled that stone away. One angel rolled it away. One angel. In the book of Revelations, we're told that there is one angel standing at the corner of the earth, holding back the winds of the earth. And you know what the winds did just in recent weeks? One angel holding back the winds of the earth. Do you know that there's one angel that has a chain ready to put upon Satan to bind him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years? You know how many angels? One. One angel. One angel. They're not puny any more than your God is puny. They're powerful, man. They're powerful. They've got the power of God. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. I want him to see what's out there. I want him to know what kind of a God you are. I want him to know that no matter what it looks like, we're okay because we're in your care. We're in your charge. You're looking after us. And he looked out and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God looks after his people. He looks after them. Now let's see what happened here. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria, which was the capital city now of Israel. He took the enemy all blinded. They had been, in essence, emasculated. They had no more power because they had been blinded by the power of God. And he took them by the hand and said, you're at the wrong city. Follow me. The very one that they had come to destroy took them by the hands like he was leading a little child. He took this large and majestic Syrian army and he led them like a child by the hand into the capital city. That's the power of God. God enabled him to take the circumstances that would have destroyed him and made a laughingstock out of the circumstances. And he took him into Samaria. And it came to pass when they were come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. He prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Now that's what I call victory. That's what I call victory. Now, some of you would say, well, I can see he'd do that for Elisha, but he wouldn't do it for me. I'm not all that important. I want you to know something. Now, don't you forget this. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, said these words. First of all, he said that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that had ever lived in the nation of Israel, John the Baptist. That makes him a greater prophet than Elisha, doesn't it? In the very next breath, he said, yet he is less than the least in the kingdom of God. The very least one of you, if you are in Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, if you've repented and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if the kingdom of God lives on the inside of you, you are the very, even if you are the very least in the kingdom of God, you are greater than the prophet John the Baptist. And he said that John the Baptist was the greatest one in all of Israel. That makes you greater than Elisha in the sight and the eyes of God. You're the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. You died when he was crucified on Calvary, and the life of Jesus is in you. You're not that old man anymore. You're a regenerated, brand new, born again man and woman. And you're extra super special to God. And God's not going to let an army destroy you. God's not going to let financial bondage destroy you. He's not going to let bitterness and anguish and anxiety and the cares of this world destroy. Now, you can let it. You can allow it. You can permit it to destroy you. But God won't if you'll put your trust in Him. My prayer today is like Elisha's. And I just want to say that. Father, I want you to open the eyes of your people. I want you to open the spiritual eyes, Father, of each of your children so that they may see the hosts of God that are camped round about them. The angels and the hosts of God Almighty that are looking after us. Let your people see your provision for them, Father. Let them know the presence of your hosts. Let them know that no oppression, no circumstance, no situation, no attack can harm them. For you said these words. In the 54th chapter of Isaiah, you said this to us, Father, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. It will not prosper. We thank you, Father, that you have undertaken to protect us, that you have given your angels charge over us, lest we stumble our foot against a rock. And that your angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. Keep us mindful, Father, of that. In Jesus' name, amen. I know this is about 3 years ago, I guess, shortly after I had received the fullness of the Spirit of God. And the Lord spoke to me and he said these words. He said, son, whenever you feel like you're in danger, I want you to call for my angels. I want you to know I didn't understand exactly what he meant at that time, at that moment. But as I've studied the Word of God, as I've studied what he has to say about spirit beings, about angels, and about angelic hosts, that was good instruction. And many times have I called for the angels of God. Many times have I called for the angels of God for protection in times of danger, spiritual danger. Now, you may not believe in the existence of angels. If you don't, it's not likely that you'll ever call for them in time of need, and it's not likely that they'll help you much. But if you'll accept the pure, clear Word of God and allow God to work in your life the way He wants to, you can receive the benefit of His provision for protection. God hadn't called us to live this life all alone. He's given us of His own Holy Spirit, His own self to live inside us. And He's given us of the host of heaven, not for us to command. He commands the hosts of heaven. We don't command angels. He commands them. But we go to Him when we're in need, and He sends the help. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What kind of a God would He be if He couldn't help us in a time of need? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope that helps you some this morning. It helps me to know that God's looking after me and He's protecting me and providing for me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you to bow your heads again just a moment, please. There's something I want to ask you before we go. There are some people here this morning who, I want every head to be bowed now and every eye closed. There are some who are here this morning who have been fighting a battle and trying to fight it alone and have not known that God is on your side and that God is greater than your problem. And I want to pray for those specific needs this morning. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you're one of those people that have a need and it may have almost overwhelmed you, but you want to reach out and ask God for His help today, I want you just to put your hand in the air. I want to know who you are so that I know who I'm praying for, all right? Are there any others? Just put your hands in the air. All right, you may put them down. Are there any others? If you have not put your hand up and you want prayer, are there any others? All right, we're going to take this group before, yes, I see your hand. Thank you, brother. Before the Lord now in believing prayer. Father, you said that in the New Testament church, our Father, that you confirmed the word with signs and with wonders. that you confirmed the words of your apostles and your men by signs and by demonstrative evidence that the word was true. That you, Lord Jesus, went with them everywhere that they went, speaking the word. Now I ask you this morning, Father, on behalf of these who have raised their hands to identify themselves as people that are in need today. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. 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 First of all, we bind the works of the wicked one from their lives. We bind every force of darkness away from them in the heavenly places in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We bind oppression in the name of Jesus and torment in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we reach out to you. I reach out to you with them. And I ask you, Father, that you would cause your hosts to come against these enemies, that you would cause the powers of God to be unloosed against these enemies of the people of God, and that all that has come against would be broken in Jesus' name, that your people would be set free, completely and beautifully and wondrously delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if it be possible, my prayer is that you would have them to observe their deliverance, that you would have them to see their deliverance, that you would have them to know how and when it's coming. We claim complete freedom and liberty and deliverance for each of these who by faith raised their hand and said, God, help me. I'm in need today. We believe you for it, our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Expect God to move in your situation. Expect Him to move. Expect Him to move. Expect Him to move. Expect to see the work of God in your life. Expect it. Expect God to do His miracle in your life. You know what it is. He knows what it is. Now you expect Him to perform it. Believe Him for it. He's able. Believe Him for it. He said, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. And we've asked. Now expect God to move. Expect Him. Don't be surprised when it comes. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for what you have done for us today, for your receiving our praises and our worship today, for your sweet ministry among us today in exhortation and in comfort, for the way that you have ministered to us today by the supernatural gifts of your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We thank you today, Father, for the burdens and the cares that you've rolled off your people and for those that you've set free and established on the road to wholeness. Father, for the glorious message that you've entrusted to us, we also thank you. And we ask you to give us opportunities to share it this week with many who are broken or who are not whole, who need healing in various areas of their life. Cause us to be the salt and the light, and give us places to shine in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.